sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout to the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand.
Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Good morning. This is Searching the Scriptures, and I'm Bill B.B. We want to thank you for taking your time to investigate the Scriptures with us this morning. I'll be using the King James Version today for most of the verses that I quote. Take out your Bibles and let's look at it together. Please don't take my word for any of the Scriptures that we use today. I encourage you to read and study for yourselves. The risk of being wrong is just too great to take anyone's word, your pastor's or your minister's or mine, or anyone else's for that matter, without serious personal study. The destiny of your soul will depend upon your obedience to what the Bible says and not to what someone tells you that it says. A while ago, there was a fashion trend where young people would wear a bracelet that had the letter WWJD on it. People would also put bumper stickers on their cars with those same letters on it. And these letters were meant to relay the question, what would Jesus do? Most of us who are students of the Bible have read Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, which contain what is commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. In this section of the book of Matthew, Jesus teaches a lot of things. In chapter 5, he covers what today we call the Beatitudes, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. He tells us that we should not hide the light that is within God-fearing people, but that we should let it shine, Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. He tells us that he came to fulfill the law of Moses and not to tear it down, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. And then in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 37, he defines what it is to kill, to commit adultery, and to swear. In these verses, Jesus tells us it's not enough just to keep from doing the physical acts of murder and adultery, but that we should strive to control our minds so that we don't even begin to allow hatred to turn into murder or lust into adultery. He tells us that our word should be enough, that we should be bound by it without swearing or taking an oath. The end of chapter 5 is taken up with Jesus telling us to suffer wrong or to turn the other cheek and to love our enemies. In chapter 6, Jesus teaches us about how we should offer money and prayer and fasting. He tells us that we are to lay our treasures up in heaven and that where our treasures are laid up, our heart will be also. If our treasures are worldly, then our interest and our attention will be focused here. On the other hand, if our treasures are in heaven, our interest and attention will be focused on those things that relate to God in heaven. It is in this section in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 where Jesus tells us that we cannot serve two masters. We have to get off the fence and serve either God or not. In chapter 7, Jesus teaches us about judging another person. And it's in this section in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6, that Jesus asks how we can remove the splinter from another's eye when there's a board in our own eyes. Then he encourages us to pray and to beware of false prophets. He concludes his sermon with an exhortation for us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. It is in this section that Jesus tells us the story of the wise and foolish builders. The wise one built his house on a rock and the foolish one on sand. Of course, we know that when difficult times came, the house built on sand crumbled. And he was comparing these two actions to people who actually did what was commanded and those that did what they thought was right but wasn't. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, he opens this section with a comment, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." We can look on down in the Bible. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 11 tells us about people of faith. Each and every one of the people he mentioned in there were doers and not just people who heard. And James also teaches us about this. In James chapter 2, beginning verse 14, James writes, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful for the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon an altar?" So both the writer of Hebrews and James tells us that it's faith accompanied by works that is acceptable to God and not just faith only. This is what Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. And he opens that section with, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father who is in heaven." So from these and other passages, we can understand something about what Jesus might do. But today, I don't want to talk about what Jesus might do. We've talked about that a lot. But what I want to talk about today is what Satan might do, or more specifically, what I would do if I were Satan. A few years ago, a famous radio commentator, Paul Harvey, did a show that was titled, If I Were Satan. In that show, he discussed several things that he would do to lead people away from God if he were Satan. It's something that warrants review today, not as a way to help Satan with ideas. After all, he studied humanity for about 6,000 years since we were created. Because of this, Satan is much more adept at our weaknesses and understanding what we are weak at and what would cause us to leave God than we are. But it's a way that would help us recognize his tactics when we're faced with them in our own lives. So if I were Satan, the first thing I'd try to do is break down the moral foundations of humanity. Within every one of us, there's a basic set of morals that were introduced by God at creation. Each person understands that it's wrong to do certain things. Every culture in the world's history has understood certain things are wrong. Murder is wrong. Adultery is wrong. Stealing is wrong. Lying is wrong. And of course, each one of these are taught in the Bible as being wrong in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. The fact that all cultures have prohibitions to these strongly argues that they are, in fact, innate laws that we're born with and not something that we're taught. Cultures may have modifications to the basic tenets, such as stealing from an enemy is okay, but stealing from your tribe member is not, like several North American tribes had. Some cultures may have modified the prohibition on fornication and adultery to the point where a man may have multiple wives and concubines, and that's okay, but the wives can't have multiple husbands and concubines. However, the basic morals are intact and present from childhood, regardless of how they're modified by cultural norms. If I were Satan, removing this moral compass, as some have called our innate morality, would be a primary goal of mine. I would go about this by using anything I could to encourage people to make minor movements and changes in their attitude over time. I'd use music to encourage alcohol and drug abuse, which will lead to disrespect for the human body and something that God clearly warns about. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18, Paul writes, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." If I were Satan, I would encourage a variety of sexual activities amongst men, something that God commands us not to participate in. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18, Paul writes, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. If I were Satan, I would make this attractive, and I would hide its cost. I'd show people how much more fun they could have if they had just dressed a little bit more provocatively. I would convince women that they could have what they wanted if they would be a little bit more sexual and a little bit less chaste. And I'd make drug use a way for young people to feel that they're rebelling against rules that make no sense to them. And I would use man's natural curiosity and inventiveness to introduce evil at an early stage, because God tells humanity to avoid this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 21 through 22, Paul writes, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." But if I were Satan, I'd surely take advantage of these things. I'd show people that sex was fun. I'd show people that adultery was fun. I'd show people that drug abuse was fun. And I'd hide the cost. I'd hide the cost of sexually transmitted diseases. I'd hide the cost of unwanted pregnancies. And I'd hide the cost of broken marriages and broken children and broken families. And if I were Satan, I would certainly hide the cost of illicit drug abuse. I'd hide the monetary cost. I'd hide the cost on the body. I'd hide the cost on our family. And I'd hide the cost of the person doing it for the danger that they put themselves in when they are buying it and using it. But if I were Satan, I'd also take advantage of the things that man can produce. I'd take advantage of man's natural curiosity and his natural inventiveness to introduce evil at an early stage, because God tells us to avoid this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 through 22, Paul writes, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil." And if I were Satan, I'd certainly try to make people look at things of evil. I'd try to make those things interesting and to bring all sorts of immoral activities in the homes and bedrooms of children and adults. I'd use the internet and the television to introduce impure language, to introduce sexual activities, and introduce other sinful activities to children at an early age. And I'd use both of those means to attack the existence of God. But if I were Satan, I'd also attack the family unit. I wouldn't just try to tear down the moral fabric of our nation, but I'd also try to attack the family unit. I would encourage husbands and wives to become bored with each other. I'd make it easy for them to see what their lives could have been if only they'd made more money, or if only their spouse would lose a little weight, or if only they didn't have kids. And those two words, "if only," I'd put in their conversation regularly. "If only you would do this," or "if only I could get to do that, we'd be more happy." And I'd gradually remove the mother's natural care for children. I'd encourage abortions, and I'd encourage women to view children as a burden rather than a blessing. And if I were Satan, I'd discourage the God-given family pattern of one man and one woman. I would convince people through introducing this in the television shows and on the internet at a slow pace, that a single parent was all that's needed, that a family doesn't need more than one parent. I'd slowly introduce people to the idea that marriage could be between two men or two women, or between human and animal just as well as it could be between a man and a woman. All of this, which is clearly against God's instructions for marriage. In Leviticus chapter 20, verses 13, Moses writes, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them." In Leviticus chapter 20, verses 15 through 16, Moses writes, "If a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and he shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them." And in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, Paul writes, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change a natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met." If I were Satan, I would encourage that kind of activity, and I would encourage it at every turn. And I'd make it to where people that taught against it were teaching hate speech. If I were Satan, I would replace God in human thought. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, Paul, once again writing, says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." But if I were Satan, I would encourage people to think about things that aren't pure, to think about things that aren't just, to think about things that are not lovely, to think about things that don't have a good report. I would encourage people to think about things that have no virtue. And these are the things that I would encourage people to think about if I were Satan. And I do that by constantly bombarding their minds with things on the internet, with things on TV, and with things in written form that encourages these thoughts. If I were Satan, I'd try to remove God from the public view as soon as I could. I would insist that any reference to him be removed from public places. I would discourage any reference of him in public speech, and I'd call it political correctness. I would replace him with human wisdom and call it science, questioning his creation, and get teachers in the colleges and universities who would criticize any student who would not abandon their belief in creation and take up evolution instead. And I would encourage those teachers and professors to make fun of and to ridicule any student that refused to give up their belief in creation. If I were Satan, I would convince the public schools to remove God from all of its curriculum, from all of its libraries, and call it religious freedom. And I would encourage those same schools to teach any other topic concerning religion other than that concerning Jehovah God. I would encourage schools and universities to give studies and conduct seminars into Islam and into Wicca, into Buddhism, into Shintoism, and any other belief system other than Christianity. I'd also encourage men to consider prayer useless and outdated. I would encourage people to think that prayer was just some waste of time because God didn't exist anyway, and even if he did exist, he didn't care enough about humanity to answer prayers. This is just the opposite, of course, of what James teaches in James chapter 5 and verse 16, where he tells humans to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But I convinced man that the prayers didn't matter anyway, and God didn't answer, and it was a waste of time to pray. And I teach children from an early age that they did not need God in their lives, and I do that by letting them watch the examples of their parents where their language was gross and their activities were contrary to what God in his holy book tells us that we should be doing. And if I were Satan, I'd use the internet and television and radio to teach children that their lives can be just okay without God, that they really didn't need God in their lives to have a happy and successful life. When Paul Harvey presented this on his radio show, we had not heard anything about the internet. After all, Paul Harvey had performed his radio show in the late 1950s or early 1960s. At that time, we didn't even know anything about the internet. And television was still black and white, and the TV shows had the men and the women sleeping in different beds in a bedroom when the families were together. We hadn't seen the immorality that's present on our television shows today. We hadn't seen the direct attack on God and Jesus in art that we see now. We hadn't seen abortion being used as it is now and being as public as it is. We had not seen our government endorsing homosexuality like it is today and calling anyone who speaks against it speaking hate speech. And we had not seen so many people divorcing as we see today. If I were Satan, I would have done exactly what we see being done all around us today. I would have done exactly what Paul Harvey said. I would encourage divorce, and divorce is rampant today. Couples get married and they change partners regularly. I would encourage homosexuality, and it's being promoted as an acceptable lifestyle today. I would encourage people to commit adultery and fornication, and that's becoming the norms, and it's being promoted by television and song and internet today. And I teach them that the basic morality that we have is failing and it's not pertinent in our modern lives. And I encourage humanity to move further and further away from belief and especially trust in God. And if I were Satan, I'd be happy about all of this. I want to thank you for taking your time and listening today. I hope you found the program both interesting and educational. We at the Church of Christ at Wasilla would love to have you visit us. If there's anything we can do to help you either to become a Christian or to grow in your Christian walk, we'd be pleased to do that. Becoming a Christian is a simple process. The Bible tells us how to do this in simple and clear language. We have to hear the Word. Philip taught the Ethiopian official in Acts chapter 8, and verses 26 through 40. We have to believe what we heard, according to John, in John chapter 3, and verse 16. We have to repent and change our lives, according to Luke, in Luke chapter 13, and verses 1 through 5. We have to confess our belief in Jesus, what we're told by John, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. And we have to be baptized by immersion in water. This is what Peter told the Jews in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when they asked what they had to do. And we need to remain faithful. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11 teaches us this. If you have any comments or questions about what I've discussed today, or if you need assistance, or if you would like to set up a personal study, please contact me. You can contact me at bill@churchofchristwasilla.com, or call me on my cell phone at 907-841-9261. You can also call us at the church's facilities at 907-373-5773. If you call this number, leave a message and we'll get back to you. Until next week, this has been Searching the Scriptures, and I'm Bill B.B.
Holy, holy, though the darkness It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer and Friend.
We hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you're cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.